All right. So this is recording, and we are in Bruce Burns' office. How are you doing, Bruce?
I'm doing well, thank you.
So what's your story? Who are you? What's going on?
I work here within DPE,
working
with ISVs that make applications for the Microsoft platform. So Windows Vista, Windows Server 2008,
nice.
Another platform.
Cool.
Hey.
Hi.
I'm Stella.
Uh-huh.
Stella Chernyak, and I'm on Windows Client Product Management Team.
Uh-huh.
And on Windows Vista, I'm focusing on enterprises and obviously working a lot with them to help them solve and remediate the issues they have right now or had previously trying to deploy Windows Vista and testing applications.
All right.
And I'm Dave Washa, and I work on the Windows Ecosystem Team, focused on working with hardware and software partners. And I have been at Microsoft for about 10 years,
okay.
Working with partners pretty much the whole time. Started
nice.
Off evangelizing IE3 as a developer platform, and some way involved in that ever since.
Very cool. And you've been on Channel 9 before.
I have. Yes, I actually got a bunch of email about it.
Nice.
Some of it even flattering.
All right.
Ooh, most man. Of it, not so much.
So, I mean, clearly what you guys work on a lot and think about a lot is compatibility. And that's clearly a big issue when we throw out, you know, new platforms or really updated platforms like Vista. So one of the things that we're going to touch on today is you guys have actually created a SharePoint site that
mm-hmm.
people can go to figure out whether or not app A or B is compatible or what state of compatibility it's in. Yes?
That's right. Yes. We use SharePoint in order to host a list of applications that we have found to be compatible
mm-hmm.
with Windows Vista. The URL is www.windowsvista.com/app-readiness.
Good.
And there you'll find the applications that either have logos or that we know are compatible because the ISVs support them,
mm-hmm.
or else are incompatible. And the community has come in and told us that there is an issue with those particular applications.
Interesting.
So we're using the portal as a way of being able to facilitate a dialogue with between the developers, between the customers, in order to identify which applications work and don't work and to fix the ones that don't.
Cool. So you mean as a developer or even just as a normal consumer, I could go there and say, hey, this app doesn't work.
That's correct.
And then you're going to have some algorithm that if 1,000 people say an app doesn't work, and you're going to go, oh, app doesn't work.
Yeah, the
I mean,
algorithm is a couple workers that actually, a couple of us that dig into it and say, okay, Oracle E-Business Suite, let's dig into it and figure out why. So
okay.
We'll take the application, and then we'll work with the ISV, in this case Oracle,
mm-hmm.
in order to mitigate any problems that there are with the application.
Excellent. So, I mean, let's talk a little bit about compatibility and the challenges there are. I mean, there are tons of changes in Vista, as you know very well, being on the Windows Vista
That's
product
correct.
Team.
That's correct.
And you knew you're going to break a lot of people,
well,
right?
Customers ask us to make a lot of changes to make operating system more secure,
uh-huh.
more reliable, improve networking, improve user experience, and these investments come with some impact on applications.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that, we focus on making sure we make it as easy as possible for our customers to
mm-hmm.
understand the scope, the impact they will have of the application compatibility toolkit we shipped in Windows Vista for the first time
mm-hmm.
in time of the OS release. And we're also working right now with DPE, with Bruce Burns, to
mm-hmm.
make the information available to customers about applications. This is actually huge. I want to comment a little bit on that.
Mm-hmm.
We talk to customers, and average enterprise may have several thousand applications. The rule of thumb is for 10,000 people, they may have 1,000. And so just knowing if an application works or does not
mm-hmm.
Can save them a ton of time. And going up there on their website and doing a search and finding that this application actually does work is huge.
Absolutely. Now, I mean, this is SharePoint, right? So this stuff is RSS enabled, or
that's correct.
I can make a call to some RSS XML file for my app and
be able to discover it programmatically as well. That's right.
Excellent.
So, you know, when we do major releases of the operating system, there's typically two different types of releases that we've seen over time.
Mm-hmm.
There are major releases such as Windows Vista, which is version 6.0 of the operating system, and minor releases. the minor releases typically don't have plumbing changes. They're enhancements to the UI, enhancements to features, etc. Mm-hmm. But they're not plumbing changes per se. Mm-hmm. Windows Vista represents a major new release that changes the underlying operating system in fairly dramatic ways. Mm-hmm. There's a brand new driver model for display drivers. There's a new security model with UAC. There's a new IP stack with IPv6. Mm-hmm. There are several plumbing enhancements that are significant. And because of that, some of those enhancements may adversely affect applications. Mm-hmm. About a year ago, we started working with ISVs in depth with applications compatibility to find out, you know, why applications do or don't work with the platform. Mm-hmm. And what we did is we brought the ISVs, our partners, into the labs, and we worked with them here in Redmond for an intensive one-week engagement at a time, where we'd basically roll up our sleeves and figure out why applications were or were not working. Mm-hmm. And the problems that we documented, we basically found out why apps weren't running, and we documented that and put them into what we call the Applications Compatibility Cookbook. And that was a way for us to being able to document in a single place all the issues that a developer may have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And this cookbook then we placed up on MSDN, and we also created a little site called Dev Readiness, where we posted the cookbook and then detailed PowerPoints and presentations with all the content that a developer would want to know in order to fix their applications.
So, I mean, it kind of begs the question. I mean, you know how whenever you're creating a new product, at least at Microsoft over the past, I guess, like 6 years now, security becomes like, you know, from the very beginning, you bake security into your thinking. Is the same true for compatibility? I mean, do you get partners in when you're thinking up Vista and you're thinking up these features? You're also thinking up, you know, how many people are we going to break?
Hugely so, in that the number one feature is compatibility that the Windows Core team tries to maintain. So everything that they do, there's a tremendous amount of testing, there's a tremendous amount of work to ensure compatibility. Mm-hmm. Now, with that said, some changes will impact some applications, but that's a trade-off that we have to be thoughtful about.
Sure.
And so we're very careful in making those trade-offs, but at times we need to do that. So especially in a major plumbing release like Vista.
Now, are there any releases in Vista that like just completely break somebody's app and nothing they can do about it?
Yeah, there are.
I mean, there are?
Yeah,
really?
There are. And I just want to add a little bit to what Bruce was talking about, which is people come to expect backwards compatibility from Windows. When we do surveys, people say one of the things they love the most about Windows is all of the things that they can do, all the things they can connect, all the things they can run on it. Mm-hmm. And most people don't ever know how much work goes into delivering on that promise. It starts before the first line of code is ever written, and it goes into, as Bruce is saying, all of the thinking that the developers do about the product. Mm. And any time that we come up with something that might cause a breaking change, we sit down with the execs, we sit down with the engineers, and we say, is making this breaking change, you know, is it worth causing compatibility issues with devices or with applications? And if it isn't, we're not going to do it. Mm-hmm. And that bar is very high. It has to be very, very valuable or deliver something that people have been asking for in order to do it. So, yes, there are some things that just people will be out of luck. I mean, I think the closer you are to the kernel, because we made a lot of changes to the kernel, and Bruce talked about a couple of them, the closer that an application is to the kernel, the more challenges you're going to have. I think the biggest example and one that most people that beta tested the product probably had a personal experience with was around antivirus. Mm. We did make a number of changes to the kernel and to the security framework. Mm. We added a bunch of, hardening around the code as well as protection against social attacks like user account control. And then all of those had implications for people developing software.
Sure.
I think the one that people probably who were out there beta testing, probably ran into first was around antivirus. But there are other areas, too. Mm-hmm. We changed the networking stack, right? And that has implications for probably some older routers. So there's not just an app compatibility effort. There's also actually a big hardware compatibility effort.
Certainly.
As well. These things have impact on all of those things. And so another thing that we run into it's, with compatibility is if people are writing code poorly, we often have to maintain compatibility for poorly written code if it's used broadly enough. So if you have enough people that are, you know, overwriting system files or they're writing to the protected areas of the registry, we need to come up with solutions for that.
Sure.
We had the same thing back in when I was promoting Internet Explorer 3 and Internet Explorer 4, people would use incorrect HTML. But because so many people were using it, we had to continue to make it compatible with as we continued to adhere more closely to the spec. And the same thing goes for any new release of the operating system.
Absolutely.
That's a really long answer. So AV is an area. Networking is an area. Video cards, because we completely reworked the video driver framework, is an area where people have seen some glitches, though they're mostly gone at this point. But there's,
But we should also point out, though, with every major, every release of Windows, we always have to go and work with the AV community and the system utility folks in order to support the new version of Windows. Those guys are so close down to the metal, so low level, that you can't change the OS at all without impacting them. So we're used to that. Every major change of Windows, we've worked with the utilities and security companies to make sure that they have a version that's available. And with Vista, we did have versions available the day that we shipped. We RTM, we had AV solutions that were running through that work.
One, what's nice is that all the major issues that have been blocking customers since GA, general availability, have actually been resolved. AV client, AV solutions, VPN clients, all those like biggest issues that we have seen a lot of press around right now are working available on Vista platform. So this is great. And we have about 30 to 40 new applications joining the list of logged work with Windows Vista or certified for Windows Vista applications every week. So that list is growing healthily, and we feel that ecosystem is over the hump of now adopting and catching up and making sure customers have a broad set of applications. I also want to mention that we so far have been talking about the work we're doing with ASVs. If you look in the enterprise space, there is a bunch of applications that customers use that are packaged applications, and then they have a lot of line of business in-house built applications. So we're also looking into how we can help our customers with that as well.
Sure.
And the program we're running right now in with our enterprise customers and partners, it is the first time we're having around a new OS release. It's called Application Compatibility Factory. And essentially what it is, we have six right now, big system integrator partners that we had an agreement with, and we trained them on application compatibility tools and remediation knowledge that DPE Bruce Burns team put together, so they have advanced expertise in that space, and they can step up and help big enterprise customers, which literally have thousands of applications, to accelerate the application testing and remediation.
Excellent.
One other comment I wanted to say is that we're really attacking the problems that we had from multiple ways. The ASV lab, the application compatibility factory, the testing tools we give to customers. We also have an application experience SWOT team. It is you can think of them as a team of black belts in the application compatibility space that go to a customer site, do an assessment of the application compatibility state, and do a quick on-site customer testing and remediation of the most worrisome issues.
Sure.
And that team, by now, I believe, trained over 900 customers, 900 IT pros that are working in our largest customers.
Sure. Now, I mean, and clearly compatibility is going to be one of those obstacles that's going to prevent people from upgrading 100,000 clients to the next operating system, right?
Well,
so you're going to make it easier for them to feel comfortable in being able to do that, to know that the core business applications are still going to run.
We believe we already have had a lot of progress in that area.
Sure.
We think that it might have been an obstacle like a few months ago, but right now we believe that we already provided a lot of tools and guidance and help on-site, remote, in all possible ways to help customers go through that path.
Outstanding. And this website that you guys have created is one of them. I mean, it's a fast way to figure out if something's going to be compatible or not.
That's right.
You can make decisions. So if I come there and I figure out some really critical application is apparently
not working for you.
No, yeah, okay. It's not working for me.
Then you can enter it in the community section and say there's a problem with this application, and we'll dig into it and figure out why.
That's excellent.
So we've done that with a bunch of apps already. There's over 1,700 applications now listed on the site that are ready, and we're working against the rest.
That's awesome. Very cool.
So that's good. Now, if you're a developer, the cousin site to this would be the MSDN site, where we list all the compatibility information so that we have a developer center on MSDN.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go there to, in specifically, there is a apps compatibility section, and that's recently been updated now for Windows Server 2008 as well.
Excellent. Because, I mean, that's rolling out at some point here.
Yep.
You know, you don't want to break too many server applications.
We go through the same thing again.
So I mean, client or server, right? It's the same.
That's right. And as a matter of fact, in our labs and in our testing with the partners, we have both components running now.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the client applications running on Vista, and then the server applications are now running on Windows Server 2008. And so that's the new test environment that we're hitting against.
So now, I mean, what's being done from the Windows side, for example, because you guys understand Windows fairly well, from more of a preventative care? I mean, when you had mentioned earlier that there's a lot of bad code that's been written, one could argue, well, it was undocumented functionality of an operating system that you could exploit to get something really cool done. And so then that all of a sudden becomes a standard amongst the developer community
because
it works. And then you're like, wow, I can't believe we let people do that. Block that off. So what kind of stuff's happening from a, say, like a documentation and how to use the system correctly front?
Well, we... less so about documentation, but we have done some pretty cool things to allow those applications that aren't necessarily on their best behavior to still run in Windows Vista.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially what we do is we, you know, let's say an app wants to write to the registry, well, you know, to a protected area of the registry. Well, Windows Vista won't let an application do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or it wants to overwrite a system file. Well, Windows Vista won't let an application do that, because all of these things are the key contributors when, you know, in past versions of Windows, if you've had it for a couple of years and it starts to slow down,
mm-hmm.
right, and like it's inexplicably slowing down and not behaving like it used to, it's usually
mm-hmm.
because you've got hundreds of these applications that have been doing this for the last couple of years. So with Vista, we don't let it happen anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do is we put the application in kind of its own matrix, like the movie The Matrix, so that it thinks it's writing to a protected part of the registry. Vista's acting like it's writing to a protected part of the registry. It's behaving like the app expects it to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually not at all writing to the protected... We just trick it into thinking that's the case. And it's got its own little area of the registry. It can access that with all of its variables and the things that it needs.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not actually letting it overwrite protected part of the registry. The same goes for overwriting system files.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we trick it into thinking that it's doing all those things so that it continues to run as the user would expect it to.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not actually letting it commit the bad behaviors that lead to bad end-user experiences.
Certainly.
So we do that kind of stuff. We do some stuff around, you know, a lot of applications have hard checks for version numbers.
Mm.
And an app might run just fine on Windows Vista, but if it's hard checking for version 5.0, the operating system, it's going to think it can't run here, and it's going to tell the user it can't run. So that actually would kick off one of my favorite features of Windows Vista, which is the application compatibility assistant,
mm-hmm.
Where if Vista sees an application check for an older version,
mm-hmm.
It will actually ask the end user, it'll say, hey, we noticed that thing didn't install very well. Do you want us to make a couple of changes and try to reinstall it? And if the user selects yes, Vista will come back and say, hey, you know what, you really are running on version 5, not version 6. And again, it'll trick the application into running properly.
Mm.
But we've done so much thinking about compatibility with Vista that we have, it for the first time, features built into the operating system that interact with end users to try to make sure that anything that made it through our automated testing and it made it through the labs and any remaining compatibility issues that made it through all of these different kind of checks, it's like we still have this last resort feature that'll make it do its best to make that application run before you should just give up on it entirely.
Hmm. So, I mean, it sounds like, I mean, would you say that with Windows Vista, we have an operating system that has compatibility as a core feature set?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, in that we've done so much work in mm-hmm. order to get applications to run. Mm-hmm. By the way, apps version is the number one factor affecting applications. It is every release. So still people hardcode their apps to say if it's version 5.5 or less, run. And that's still the number one thing, just updating the version number, that is adversely affecting applications.
Sure.
But from all of the changes we've done from an engineering point of view, that's probably the most impactful. Let me get
sure.
that.
Sure, it could be important.
And
okay, it's off.
That's how I answer my phone.
I would like to comment that indeed application compatibility has been a major consideration while we were building Windows Vista.
Uh-huh.
We were testing several hundred applications with daily builds. And the wealth of tools from personal compatibility assistant to application compatibility toolkit just demonstrates our commitment to make sure we address compatibility issues from all fronts. I also want to touch a little bit on the features that David was talking about,
uh-huh.
the file and register virtualization, essentially tricking application that it is doing something regarding writing to register or mm-hmm. to protected areas of our systems that is not. In a sense that we are looking from a multiple perspectives of what we can do around virtualization to help customers mm-hmm. with legacy apps. So this file and register virtualization is one feature. Virtual PC is also a nice bridging solution.
Sure.
True, it does not necessarily solve a problem in the long run, but if customers want to move to OS to a new OS faster, they can take advantage of the virtual PC and run a specific legacy application they need mm-hmm. in that VPC environment while helping their users take full advantage of all other Windows Vista features. And finally, I want to touch on the SoftGrid. SoftGrid is a new solution as a part of...
SoftGrid,
that's right. Okay. Did you hear about that?
Not yet.
I am. It is a part of Microsoft Desktop Optimization Pack that is available as a subscription for Microsoft Windows EA NSA customers. And this is a great capability that allows to sequence and virtualize applications and deliver to customers without natively installing on iOS. And it does help to eliminate many of the application-to-application conflicts, like so-called DLL hell. Mm-hmm. It does allow to protect from that, and in that sense, helps to reduce amount of application compatibility testing customers have to do in terms of applications to applications, mm-hmm. and provides this dynamic and pretty flexible solution.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
So I believe that in the future, virtualization will play a larger role in apps compatibility. We're getting some relief right now from the technology, and I think going forward, it will help mitigate. Because when somebody writes an application, they want the app to run for 20, 30 years.
Absolutely.
And it just continue to run. Mm-hmm. So virtualization will be able to provide a way of being able to do that. Now, there will always be a new generation of apps that take advantage of the new features that light up on the operating system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good, because customers want new features and they want new capabilities. But they also want their old applications to run. So I think in the future, that's how you'll see more and more mitigations happening that way.
Sure, through virtualization. Of course, until they figure out how to, hardware accelerate in a virtual machine, which is not an easy problem, then highly graphical intensive applications.
It's a different class.
You're going to need to understand the new video driver model. And as you mentioned, changing drivers was pretty huge, changing mm-hmm. the driver model. I saw a lot of bugs
yep.
coming in, like, hey, my app doesn't work. I'm getting this error saying the driver is not installed,
mm-hmm.
right? Or the driver was trying to do something it wasn't supposed to do. And driver writers typically have always been, since that's, one could argue, is the hardest part of writing Windows. If you're a Windows dev and you're a drivers writer, there wasn't always a lot of good documentation and a nice architecture for them. There is in Vista and XP now with the driver framework
mm-hmm.
model. For the kernel and user mode, those guys did great work. So that should help out mm-hmm. for future.
That's right.
And there's, there are other things that we're doing to support those folks. Another cool feature I think that end users don't get much of a view into is a lot of the new steps forward we made in the telemetry in Windows Vista. So I think a lot of people are familiar with, if you have a crash, it says, do you want to submit this information mm-hmm. to Microsoft? You hit yes, and then if there's a fix for it, we try to give it to you. We've really done a ton more of that kind of instrumentation with Windows Vista. So we can much more granularly identify problems. But the cool part is that we also are surfacing more of that information to the development community than we ever have before. So as an app writer or as a driver writer, you now have the ability to walk up to a portal look up, you know, your company and a specific DLL or a driver and say, how many times has this crashed? How many times has it hanged? You know,
nice.
And you can drill more deeply. You can get mini dumps and download them and, you know, drill more deeply into what processes were running at the time and what other DLLs were present on the system and all things like that. So you can try to triangulate where the problem might be. So, you know, there's documentation and education is one key point, but also literally providing real-time, you know, information about how things are behaving on the wild, and then providing a mechanism for most people to put fixes up on Windows Update. So completing that cycle, right, identifying the problem, making the fix, getting it up on Windows Update, and then distributing it out to the people who are using it. I think we've done a ton more in that space than we ever have before. So we're making progress against the remaining compatibility issues out there way faster than we ever have before.
Excellent.
Because we've got this ability to go out and do like an MRI of the ecosystem and find all the hot spots and then go out and fix them. So
cool. Yeah. And as you mentioned, I mean, we've covered that on Channel 9 pretty extensively, actually, as part of Vista Week that we did, I don't know, I guess it was 6 months ago. We've actually, the focus was instrumentation, diagnostics, and those are core level, that's core changes.
Yeah.
It's only in Vista right now, probably going to be in 2008. I don't know. But Server would be a good place for that,
yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely.
That's really good stuff. I mean, do you see a time when compatibilities become less and less of an issue? I mean, could you make the argument that once we understand Windows better, in other words, it's not a bunch of dependencies everywhere, becomes more composable, that's probably going to have a good impact on the notion of compatibility. Yes?
Yeah, I think so. There's, a couple different classes of apps, and that is, some applications that will be able to be run in a virtualized environment, going back to virtualization, applications like eBusiness Suite are a prime example. You want to be able to get into your CRM system or your accounting system, and those types of applications will run fine in that environment. And that's, I think, long-term how those apps will work. Other applications, though, like the AutoCADs of the world, no, you're going to want those directly on the metal. And so, you know, it's a different, those are not good candidates for virtualization on the client in that aspect. You're going to want the native versions like AutoCAD 2008 to be running on Windows Vista, and then you get the best performance.
Interesting. And do you think this compatibility stuff, all the data you've gathered over the years from Windows, that's certainly helping Windows evolve? And you guys, to do things correctly when you add new features, right?
Yes, it helps us think in a more mature way about how we would like to manage compatibility, and that also helps our conversations with the SV community, with the ecosystem, what the bad behavior should be. And, like, I'm a big proponent of virtualization as well. I think one of the best practices for ISV applications of the future may be through virtualization, and we may even, like, consider thinking of whether we want our partners to package and ship new applications being virtualized out of box.
Nice.
It's just a thinking, but like that potentially will significantly change the game, redefine the game around compatibility.
Absolutely. Very cool. So what else? What else do you want to get out there about compatibility besides it's incredibly important and we're doing cool things like
The resources are there, both from somebody who wants to run an application to go to windowsvista.com/appreadiness in order to find the applications or tell us about applications that aren't working right. Mm-hmm. And as a developer, the content is there as well on the Compatibility Center on MSDN or our little devreadiness.org site that we put up with all the same content in that location.
Absolutely. And as he mentioned, if you're a developer of one of these apps, there might be a good chance of you getting... I mean, that actually brings up a good point. If an app is not compatible on Vista and just won't run, do the diagnostics... Maybe give the user a prompt that says this probably isn't compatible. Submit all of this a mini dump or whatever up to here. I mean, in the end, Windows knows that something's not working on it. Yes, and it could sense that this app might be not compatible. It could call a web service,
well,
maybe hit your data.
There is a compatibility wizard to help users. Mm. And we've also tested thousands and thousands of applications. So we know in advance most of the major applications that aren't working, and we'll let the user know the steps that they can do to mitigate that. And then we work directly with the ISV community such that they can update their existing apps so that they do work on Windows Vista. Folks like Adobe who just posted an update to Acrobat version 8.1 that supports Vista natively now. So We work closely with the ISV community to make sure that the user experience is as good as possible on Windows Vista, and in fact, we're seeing some great applications come out now.
And I think the thing I want people to take away from today is that, well, we can test, we bring an unprecedented amount of resources to bear on this stuff, right? We've got, walk over to building 26, we've got 400 servers that are doing automated testing 24 hours a day, and they have been for the last 4 years on applications, right? Mm-hmm. We've got Bruce and his entire team who run a set of labs that are churning ISVs through that thing 5 days a week, you know, for the last year and a half or 2 years against Windows Vista. But the size of the problem is so huge. It's hundreds of thousands of apps. And don't just think of it as like QuickBooks 2007, right? Mm-hmm. It's also QuickBooks 2006, QuickBooks 2005, like the install bases of all of those older versions of the product. It's not just you check off Intuit and you're good to go. It's Intuit and the 30 products that they have in the market. Mm-hmm. So that's why we built this site, is that we can't do it ourselves. We need the people that are out there, the millions of people that develop against Windows Vista, and the millions of IT pros that are out there managing networks that have, you know, Windows on them. Mm-hmm. We need their help in gathering up this information and sharing with other people, because we can't do it ourselves.
Excellent.
And one comment I want to add is that although there is still a lot of work for us to be done, and for us and community, as Bruce and Dave, I just heard them saying, mm-hmm. we already see, as I said, we believe we're already over the hump, because we already see large enterprise customers deploying. We have Charter Communications, Continental Airlines, Cerner, three companies we just announced last week at TechEd. We had them announcing that they're deploying thousands of seats on Windows Vista. Mm. And this is thanks to what we have been doing with them to help them drive deployment and as well as do assessments and remediation of application compatibility. Mm. So with that great progress, we believe that other companies will be picking up the momentum and starting to drive deployment on Windows Vista in the production seats.
So now you guys, better than anyone else, are going to know what's the number one, maybe number one, two, compatibility issue customers from small businesses to enterprises are running into. Is it UAC?
Mm-mm. It's
no.
the number one issue. Yeah. Every single release of it Windows, it's version number.
Really?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Why don't they
11%.
Get it? You should say great. You know what, developers? Say if the operating system version is 5.0 or greater,
that's right.
Then.
We evangelize that. We've been working with the community for a long time. And we're
so
getting
that's
closer.
The number one issue.
Number one issue. Yeah,
really?
It's a version number. We changed it to version 6 from 5.5.
Well, that's a very minor tweak.
Exactly.
For the devs out there. Well, what about some of the more major things? I mean, like...
If I can comment, it's not necessarily a specific feature technology for larger customers. Uh-huh. It is a sheer volume of the application testing and understanding the impact. Probably more so than necessarily a specific application or specific issues. That's why mm-hmm. we're so focused on giving them tools, guidance, information, more than anything. Because it is actually fairly easy in many cases to remediate UAC issues when customers know which applications are affected. Mm. It is creating the initial inventory across all the thousands of tens of thousands of desktops. This is where the most of the time is taken.
Absolutely. And also, again, it comes back to a little bit of education, because, you know, one of the things many people may not realize explicitly about Vista is that you're not an administrator. Mm-hmm. Okay? The concept of administrator was changed, not just mm-hmm. you're running as user. So that's something interesting.
And session zero now, so that, you know, you're not, as you run applications, those applications are not running in, they're running in session one, not session zero. So we've changed the context, and that's one of the issues. All of these things we've documented in a great amount of detail, and you can get them in the cookbook, and then you can actually watch on the Dev Readiness site or MSDN, you can see the developers that created these new features talk about them mm-hmm. on video. And talk about where they were coming from, what they wanted to create, why it's impacting applications, and what they were thinking when they wrote the new APIs.
So outstanding.
All that content is there.
Good. All right. Well, hey, thank you guys for your time.
Thank you.
Charles, and, thank you. It's great to be on C9.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Great to have you guys. We'll come back to this issue.
Thank
probably
you,
for Win 7. Oops, I shouldn't have said that. Sorry, Zanowski. <All right. laughs>